Peace, everyone. It's a privilege to greet all of you. Kind of got the hometown crowd this morning, and then everybody else has gone out of town. Or is this what life with coronavirus is going to look like, right? And it's the time change. That's right, Mr. Jane. Well, I am so glad that we are here together, each one of you. I have two things to say. One is about coronavirus. There is a little group of folks that's just helping the session think through. If this thing goes, gets bad, we've got a daycare here and a homeless shelter here and all of us here. Steve's been a part of that conversation. It's all an electronic committee, the best kind these days. Margaret, Steve, Dr. May, Margaret, I wrote these names down, Garrett Bush, you're right there. But so many of you guys, Gloria, you're on that chain too. So many of you guys in your work, in your vocations, are dealing with caring for people in their bodies and their souls and doing that institutionally. So thank you for being willing to give wisdom, right, about this kind of stuff. That's number one. Number two, on Wednesday, we are hosting Calvary Baptist and First Baptist here at noon for 30 minutes of worship. I think Alex Martin from Calvary will be preaching, and then we will have lunch. There were 60 people at First Baptist on Wednesday. It was a great crowd. I'll say that the Presbyterians weren't extremely well represented, so please come. Don't let them show us out in our own house. And then if you are willing to help host that lunch, just if you could help, man the drink table or woman the drink table, or that would be great if you could let me or Loida know that. That's not a big commitment, but we need somebody to stand there and pour water and just kind of keep the wheels on the bus going round and round. If you want there to be childcare during that lunch, you can let me know. Any other announcements? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, the scriptures say that you are mighty to save. The scriptures say that you reach down with a strong arm and bring us back up to you. That's the gospel in many ways, Lord, that you're the God that comes and seeks and saves us, the lost, so that we might be your children and live your life. So, Lord, send your spirit on us as we are together, that we might yet again know all this to be true. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you say this call to worship with me? Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Teach us, Lord, to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. Let us do that by singing hymn 417 together. Christ has made the sure foundation. Christ and
thank you.
Amen. Please be seated. This Lent, we are saying the Ten Commandments. We are hearing the Ten Commandments as a call to confession. The commands hold up a mirror to our hearts, right? Showing us all that God has created us to be in the places that we have fallen short. I will say two of them, and then we will sing a prayer asking that God will have mercy as a way of us confessing together how our lives have fallen short. So hear, O Israel, hear these commands. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. Mercy, have mercy upon us. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder.
Have mercy upon us. Incline our hearts to keep his law.
You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts. Thy laws in our hearts we preach.
Lord, the psalmist prays, search me, O God, and know my heart. Lord, these commands show us our heart. They tell us what not to do, but they really point to a larger, more beautiful life, a life with you, in love with you, a life with others, in love and in care and concern with them. Lord, 1,000 times this week in our own hearts, in the world around us, this vision for life with you and life with each other has been broken down. Sometimes we have actively torn it down with habits of thought and mind or with actions that surprised us. So, Lord, this morning we come and lay our lives before you. We name these things before you. Lord, we ask that yet again the gospel of forgiveness, the gospel of Jesus Christ, would speak into our hearts. And that we would know that you know us, that you love us, that you seek us, that you save us, and that we could live transformed lives because of that. We pray all this in Christ's name.
Amen.
Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let us pass the peace. Because a lot of you guys weren't here last week, but we missed you. So if you're visiting this week, we're learning this verse from Philippians, which is at the heart of Philippians, and it starts out with this: let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, right? Who did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. Okay, then we're going to get our cup out. But emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. We're going to find something on the floor. And being found in human form. Here's a new part. He humbled himself. So let's go down on one knee. He humbled himself. And then here's one of your favorite words, obedience. Obedient. This is actually sign language for obedience. Okay, so he humbled himself and became obedient to the point. And then this is sign language for death. Death. Okay, so let's stand up. So he humbled himself and became obedient. To the point of, flip those pancakes, death, even death on a cross. You want to try that one more time with me? All right. So he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Okay, let's put it all together. I think the adults could help us on the first part, I bet. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. Get those cups out. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's great. So this is what Paul says. He says, let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus. We've got to think like Jesus.
We have to value others above ourselves. That's the big picture point there that we'll work on later. Thanks, guys. You guys are learning that, and that's awesome. You know, one of the things that we do in life, if you've ever learned a sport, do you ever just go out there and shoot? You sometimes do things that you don't quite understand how they're going to matter in the game. Like you do drills. Do you ever do drills? You do drills and drills and drills, and you think, how is this ever going to relate to anything I'm going to do when we're actually playing? That's sometimes what scripture memory is about. We put these things inside of us so that when we're actually playing the game of life, we're surprised how they come out as really helpful things. Just like how you have to learn how to shoot a layup. You have to learn how to get some of this scripture inside of you so you can play this Christian life to the best of your ability. So let's pray. God, we give you thanks that you humbled yourself, that you are not a God that's content to stay high and mighty, but that comes down far and low. We pray that you'd write these words on our heart and that your Spirit would bring them up when we need them the most. In Christ's name, amen. Oh, and then we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Have a great time in Children's Church if you're going. Chase, you gonna read? I think your dad's got it.
Pray with me. Through God's word, O Holy Spirit, bring us closer to our Savior. And in response, Triune God, prompt our hearts to offer you sincere thanks for our salvation. In the strong name of Jesus our Lord, amen.
Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will I help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber.
He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our scriptures from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's powerful to see the two of you up here, and it's powerful to hear that John passage read, right? Because it's the heart of the gospel. For God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only Son. And then that verse that follows, right, because God does not desire to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. As we've walked through these Isaiah passages and now through these Philippian passages, it's still the same message. You know, this during Lent, as we're going through Philippians, our Old Testament lesson and New Testament lesson are coming from the Revised Common Lectionary. So those are scripture passages that are chosen kind of for churches, many churches just to follow through so that we are connected as the body of Christ, reading the same passages of scripture. So that was put there today by chance, right? But not by chance, because it shows us again the heart of the gospel that the servant Jesus brings to us. The servant that we saw anticipated as we looked in the Isaiah passages, and the servant that we see at the heart of this book of Philippians, right? This servant song that we're learning for the kids is the theme of this verse. And we've looked over the past weeks how Paul wants that servant to be at the heart of things, right? Paul wants that servant to be at the heart of our friendship, right? Paul wants that servant to be at the heart of the way that we're mentored in life. And because what we saw last week, Paul's in prison, right? And because that servant anchors his experience in prison, he can see that servant Jesus working something redemptive out of something that most people would consider dishonorable, right? He has hope that the suffering that he experiences, the shame that he knows, is not the last word, right? But this Jesus story is unfolding in his particular life. This week, Paul is going to ask us to think about what it looks like to have that servant Jesus at the heart of our life as a fellowship, as a community. So listen carefully and listen well to Philippians 1, verses 27 through verses 2-13. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side in one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction and of our salvation, and it is God's doing. For he has graciously granted you not only the privilege of believing, but of sharing in the suffering of Christ also. Since you are having the same struggle that you saw that I had and now hear that I am still having. If, then, there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation in love, if there's any sharing in the Spirit, if there's any compassion and sympathy, then make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, of the same love. Be fully in one accord and of one mind. How? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourself. Let each of you not look to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and being found in human likeness and being born in human likeness and found in human form, he became obedient, even obedient to the point of death. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father in heaven. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but even more so in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This too is the word of the Lord. I wonder if you fell down an internet rabbit hole this week. You ever fall down internet rabbit holes, right? All of a sudden you've looked up and you've been searching something absurd for 20 minutes. Well, I fell down one, and it was all about the history of picture frames. Rabbit hole, right? It's amazing what you can learn about the history of picture frames. And I actually went there with a purpose and found it, which was impressive, because usually I go there with a purpose and forget it as I'm halfway down the hole. And I'm not going to be able to say this word. There is something called an edicular, A-E-D-I-C-U-L-A-R frame. And you've seen these maybe in museums, and this is where I had seen them. And it's where the frame does more than just make like a decorative design. It's where the frame actually has carved pictures in it, right? You maybe have seen these in the Renaissance, right? So it's that what the picture might be is of a saint, but the edicular frame actually has all these, they might have pictures of the life of Christ, right? They might have carvings, they might have symbols that tell the story of the passion. But that frame, right, tells one story, and then it puts the image in the context of that story. And if you want to find out this really interesting website about the history of picture frames, I can share it with you. And you can read a long, long article about edicular frames that I got about halfway through, and then I had the point that I needed, right? To make this basic point that Paul has been making, right? Paul is preaching about this gospel of Jesus, right? And his proclamation is that frame, right? And what's the basic gospel? Right, is that the God of the universe hasn't remained far off, but that he's humbled himself, right? To the point of death, even death on a cross, right? This is the story of God reaching down from heaven. We build our lives reaching up, but God is the one who reaches down, right, to save. And that's the frame, right, that Paul has put friendship and mentorship and even his own experience. And now Paul in this passage turns to us and says, hey, you, what's the frame that you see your life as a congregation together? What's it? What is it? And if you put the gospel frame around it, right, what can it be? And this is what it can be. It can be the life of a people that are united and invited. United and invited. This is the united part is in the first part of the passage where Paul says, live a life in a manner worthy of the gospel. And then he gives two images, one of standing, right, in one spirit. And then the other is striving side by side in one mind for the faith of the gospel. That's a picture of unity. And in a real basic sense, it's the unity that we have when we do this. Can you do this with me? Yeah, that means, yeah, everybody knock a little bit, right? Sorry, Presbyterians participating, but here's the point. This is why, like, singing's important with worship. You physically now feel more united as a group of people. Like there's, you know, the scientists that study these things, that study group dynamics, so that if you just get people to tap or to clap, like we are bound together. This is why singing, like when Daddy and Granddaddy used to take me they went to Rotary, we would, you know, that old man would sit there back at the piano and would sing those patriotic songs. We felt united, right? Not just because we were saying God bless America, but because we were doing something together that bound us physically together. And there's a sense that Paul is talking about that when we just come together, that part of the, when we have that Jesus frame around our life as a congregation, we feel united because we are a people just together. We're together in the same thing. But then we're also together in this faith of the gospel thing that binds us together because we're together in worshiping. We're together in mission. We're together in fellowship. And what's the togetherness based on? The joy of Christmas morning, right? And I'm not just thinking about Jesus. I'm thinking about the joy of receiving gifts, the gift of grace, right? That's at the heart of our togetherness. When we frame our life as people and as a community with that gospel frame, with the pictures of Jesus, we realize we've all been given something, right? We've all been known. We've all been loved. We've all been made to matter. We've all been forgiven. And so we can go do those things to other people. And it's not just a whole bunch of individuals, right? We become a body of Christ. We become a people that are here together so that when people come, you know, we don't really have any, well, we have one visitor, but you were here last week, so you're now a regular attender. I think one of the experiences that people have when they come here is kindness, right? People feel welcomed, right? Some of you have spent the last decades making sure that people, when they come, are spoken to and known and named. That makes something true about all of us, right? There's an us-ness that's happening here when we together as a body and also as particular persons receive the gift of grace. And this is what makes us different from Maui, right? The Mount Airy Ukulele Society. It's what makes us different from Mr. Bob's pickleball tournaments. It's what makes us different from my basketball game 3 mornings a week. Right? At the heart of our life, framed by the gospel, is the reception of this gift of grace. And Paul likes the word mind, and he likes the word same and one a lot in this passage, right? We're striving together side by side. We're together in the Spirit. We have one mind, the same love. You know, there's all this sense that we are fueled by the same fire as a body. We're united in this way, and it's a gift. And then we're also invited to share in the sufferings of Christ. There's that line. Not only has he given you the privilege of believing in him, he's given you the privilege of suffering for Christ. Now, when I read this, I think, okay, I'm not about to get killed for my faith, so this doesn't apply to me, right? If you live in China, like, there's a real possibility there are places around the world where that still happens, right? There are different ways to think about it, what it means to share in Christ's suffering. I think if you are a caregiver, right, and if that's for a kid or for a parent or for a peer, there's a sense that you, by showing up and caring, are sharing in the suffering of Christ. Because you know when you've been through those hard experiences with any of those groups that there is a sense that, whew, just got the wind knocked out of me. But there's also can be that sweet sense of the Holy Spirit coming in right there and saying, hey, I got this with you, right? I am here, you're doing my work and my labor, and I am with you. There's also the sense that this, if we combine this idea of unity and sharing in the suffering of Christ, we think about the ways that Christians have come together and done amazing things when they actually have opposition, right? Where there's that line in the passage that one minded in the faith of the gospel and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. Think with me, part of our experience in my growing up days was there was a Christian commune outside of town. And it's called Koinonia Farms. It was started in the 40s as an interracial community that wanted to live according to the book of Acts, right? So they shared all their money, and they paid white and black people the same thing, right? So by the 50s, they were getting shot at, having, you know, crosses burned in their yard, and they made a living by making fruitcakes. Right? There were all these pecan trees out there at Cornelia. They made fruitcakes, and they sold them on the side of the road because Highway 19 was before 75, and if you wanted to go to Disney World before it was there, if you wanted to go south to Florida, you'd go through our little town. And when your fruitcake stand gets blown up a few times, you don't sell fruitcakes at the fruitcake stand anymore. But they started a mail order business, and that's how they made it through. They were united, right, in this together in trying to witness to the gospel, right? And even though they had lots of opposition, they stood firm, right? And something beautiful happened then, and something beautiful continues. It's that same, they were sharing in the suffering of Christ in their way because they were trying to point to God's kingdom, to say the kingdom of God is about folks of all different races and classes coming together and eating and working together in a way that shows us what heaven will be like, and that caused opposition. So there's this basic sense that we're united, right, as a people, a people that are marked by grace, a people who frame their life in the gospel. And part of that picture that's in that frame is that we're also invited in to the suffering of Christ. You know, as I've thought about, this is my coronavirus aside, right? As I have felt, you know, in my stomach, for us, right? For, you know, everybody in my life that's in the this could be bad for you group, right? Who I love dearly. I've thought of, and as I've been with this passage this week and being united in Christ and invited to share in Christ's suffering, I've remembered that the primary thing that scares me about coronavirus is losing control. Like seeing people I love suffer, like that's definitely there. But way before that is what? Losing control. And what does it mean that to be united to Christ and to share in the suffering of Christ? It means that I've already let go of control, right? Because I don't want to be anybody else's suffering. Are you serious? Right? But if I follow Jesus, I can go there. Because I know that he's there and that redemption can happen there. I can lose control of what's around me. I can also let go of what's inside. I can also let go of the control inside of me. You know, Stoics, you know, like Stoics, those ancient Greek philosophers, they were convinced that they couldn't control the world outside of them, but that they could control the world inside of them. Right? We're not Stoics, right? We're people that have surrendered our lives to God. This is what's so great about the Psalms. Over and over again, they give us words to say, oh gosh, I can't handle this, Lord. Can you handle it with me? Because that's what we do, right? When we have a space to do that. We don't have to be afraid because we're united with Christ, because we've been invited to share in his sufferings. Then just Paul gets really practical, right? What does he say? Hey, he gives us this beautiful hymn, right? But before we get into the hymn that we're learning with the kids, he says, hey, you want to be a people that are united in Christ? You want to be people that sacrifice each other? Just do this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Do nothing out of vain conceit, but rather in humility, value others above yourself. Value others above yourself. That's the heart of it, right? We don't do that because we've screwed up enough courage, right? Because we've calmed our inner voices. No. We do that because we've seen this Jesus frame. We've heard the Jesus story, and we've framed our lives with a, what's my funny word? Addicular frame. When we live this kind of life, we end up in hard places, right? That's kind of, I was talking to one of our regular shelter volunteers this week, who's somebody really good at solving problems in life, A lot of you, you know, would fit this category. Good problem solvers. Right? And what did he say? The sadness of this overwhelms me. Because on April 1st, you know, it's over, right? The sadness of this overwhelms me because it's a problem that he can't solve. Right? What do we do? Right? Because this is like life. How many of us have problems we can't solve? Right. We sing the servant song. Right? You don't have to sing it with the words of he became obedient to death, even death on a cross, right? But we sing songs of the gospel that bind us together and that tell the story of Jesus. Right? Because when we sing those songs, right, we realize that we're not alone in our suffering. And that also suffering doesn't have the last word, that this story of our lives and of our congregation, of our little town, right, all will have a beautiful ending because one day Christ will return and make all things new. And what we're about here, right, is giving people a taste of that now, today. So let's sing a gospel song together after we pray. And let's continue on striving together to try to be more united, to try to be more sharers in Christ's suffering, and to keep on singing this gospel. Let's pray. Ooh, Lord, there's so much in these scriptures. But above all, we find you, right? We find you, Lord, the one who enables us to will and to work for your good pleasure. We find you, the God of encouragement, the God of consolation, the God who shares your spirit with us so that we can be full of compassion and sympathy. Lord, help us to know you more as we walk through our vocations on a daily basis, as we read your scriptures, as we worship, Lord. We pray that this pressure that marks the scriptures of your presence would mark our lives. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. So let's stand and sing the Church's One Foundation, 442.
Oh,
Using the words of the Apostles' Creed, let us state what the church and we ourselves believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Will you pray with me? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you thanks for this beautiful morning, for the fact that we can be here. And we thank you for all the beauty that surrounds us. Even now, the pear trees are brushing the descending blue of the sky. The little daffodils spring up even in the ditch. Sedum shoots its shiny milk emerald leaves out of the pine straw, and the days are growing longer. We'll even sacrifice an hour of sleep just to get to see these joys of spring. Lord, this morning we give you thanks for the gift of friendship. You give us friends who walk beside us throughout the years. We celebrate together, we learn together, we mourn together. For the goodness of friends, we say thank you. Lord, for some of this has been a week touched by death. Death of a friend, of a parent, a stranger who dies in our presence. We've seen breath leave and transform one from a person to a corpse. Lord, we know that this is not the way things are meant to be. Lord Jesus, we know that you conquered death. So that we pray that you'd give us hope in our grief that this is not the last word on life, but that you hold the keys to life and death, and one day we'll unlock death's tight grip and lead your brothers and sisters into life. Lord, we do pray for this world and for our country and our state and even our town as we are aware of COVID-19. We pray that our anxiety and fear would not keep us from doing the simple things that need to be done, like washing our hands and not touching our face. But Lord, deeper than that, we pray that you would remind us that you are all powerful and that you are all good. So Lord, in that vein, we ask that you would give wisdom to those who govern, insight to scientists who work on vaccines, that you'd sustain nurses and doctors, and that, Lord, above all, you would have mercy. Lord, we remember communities throughout Tennessee this week as they grieve the loss of loved ones and also as they look to rebuild their homes and their churches and other buildings that were destroyed this week and by tornadoes. Lord, in a moment of silence, we lift up to you the cares that are on our own hearts. Lord, we lift up now our petitions of those who are listed in our bulletin. We pray for Harvey, Kathy's mom, for Brad, for Jackie Ballantyne, for Barry and Mary, best parents, for Bob as he continues to heal, for Kat, for Vernell, for Crystal, for Robin, for Bobby, for Maggie, for Melissa, for Kathy, and for Mitch. Lord, we are grateful that we can trust that you don't just hear our prayers, but that you, Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, interpret them for us. So we do pray for that, and we pray all this in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. This is a bag. It's a Ziploc bag. And it has $40 in it. And it was put on my desk one morning, and it says, Mickey, One of the guests donated this to the church. What a great call for an offering, right? So let us give our gifts to the Lord. We say thank you for the many gifts you've given us and are so grateful that we can give back to your work and your kingdom here. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let us sing our closing hymn, Rock of Ages. It's printed, the words are printed in your bulletin.
Thank you.
Now go to peace, to love and serve the Lord in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.